Hello, hello. Thank you so much for being here. And today I'm chatting with my friend Kelly France about the untold story behind four giant presidential heads on a mountain in South Dakota. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've heard of Mount Rushmore. Let's dive in to what you may not already know. I'm Sharon McMahon, and welcome to the Sharon Says So podcast. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to have my friend Kelly France with me today. Thank you for coming, Kelly.
Hi.
Hello. How has life been treating you in with your Airbnb in California?
So good. It's been crazy and fun and nonstop, but it's been an adventure. It's always an adventure at the Frances.
If people are not already following you, tell people what you do, Kelly.
Well, I have to back up a little because like years ago, I had this hunch to do a poll on social media. And I asked all these women to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10. And I said, rate your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, these are like very educated, entrepreneurial, put together women. And so I was expecting some high numbers, but I was shocked at the results. And what I discovered was that the average number was a 5 out of 10.
It's a failing grade.
Yeah, that's failing. And I was like, I am not okay with that number. And so I am on a mission to help women love themselves and to increase that number because, you know, we have so many opportunities nowadays that we didn't have as women, you know, in the past. Mm-hmm. And I want our confidence level to catch up to our capacity for impact. So that's what I do.
I would love to hear from you more. This phrase like self-love, right? Like that has really, like, what does that even mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is it just like looking in the mirror and being like, I am gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like what does that phrase mean to you?
So I personally believe that it means having a loving relationship with yourself, as in you are your own best friend. Mm-hmm. And I think that women and especially moms, we sort of lose that relationship when we start taking care of everyone else.
Mm. What does it mean though, to have a loving relationship with yourself?
I think it means to be, I mean, I was just lecturing my teenage daughter, she's 20 years old now.
She's not a teenager anymore. She's,
that's so weird. I was just telling her, you know, you have to be as compassionate with yourself as you are with others. You know, really having like some compassion with yourself. I think a lot of it is, it all comes down to self-talk. And I say like, you got to drop kick your inner mean girl. And so it means talking to yourself and treating yourself like you love yourself. Like in fact, I had women for one day write down, and I'll put this challenge out to your listeners. For one day, write down all the things you say to yourself, all the negative things you say to yourself in one day. And it is shocking. Like these women were commenting with a whole list of things they were saying to themselves. And some of their friends were seeing this. This was in my Fearless Girl community. And some of their friends were like, I'm not okay with you saying that to yourself. Mm-hmm, like I know you, and this is not how I see you. It's really sad. And so I want to change that. Mm.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right that many people are talking to themselves in unhealthy, unproductive ways that they would never speak to another human being. Mm-hmm. And it inhibits our ability to have the greatest impact and to live a satisfying, fulfilling life.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. I want them to fear less and live more. And that's why my podcast is called Fearless Girl. My community is called Fearless Girl.
Well, let's change gears because I have a story to tell you that has absolutely nothing to do with self-love. But it's an interesting story.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Have you been to South Dakota before?
I have not.
Okay. So you have never visited Mount Rushmore?
No, I haven't.
But I know you know what it is.
Sure do.
Mount Rushmore, of course, is such a symbol of the United States, and it's such a recognizable symbol. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you the history behind Mount Rushmore, because there are definitely some things where you're like, well, I did not know that.
Sweet.
For example, did you know that the sculptor of Mount Rushmore decided that there should be a secret room behind the faces on Mount Rushmore in which all kinds of information, exhibits, etc., would be stored about the presidents that are depicted on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then he eventually kind of ran out of time to make this room. And eventually the National Park Service did make a room, a vault full of information behind Mount Rushmore that is not open to the public.
Oh, wow.
And this is depicted in the National Treasure movie behind Mount Rushmore. Like, that is a real thing now.
That's
there is a vault with secret stuff in there.
Oh man. That's so intriguing. I want to go there now.
I
want to find that secret place.
So many Americans have this very positive view of Mount Rushmore. It's just like a patriotic place to visit. They're cool sculptures. It's like, wow, those are really realistic sculptures sculpted into the side of a cliff, a mountain. You know, millions of people visit it every year. The sculptures are huge. They're very impressive. They're about 60 feet tall, which is, you know, a few stories tall, but certainly not nearly as big as we maybe envision that they are. The Washington Monument, for example, is almost 9 times bigger than the faces on Mount Rushmore. So our view of these massive faces, they certainly are large, but they're not as large as maybe they look on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, very, very popular place to visit in South Dakota, but it doesn't mean that the history of how Mount Rushmore came to be has always been positive. And it doesn't mean that it continues to be positive for some people. The Black Hills are a small, isolated mountain range that start in South Dakota, extend into Wyoming, and they are traditionally the ancestral lands of the Lakota people. And the Black Hills in the Lakota language, to the name for them, translates to the heart of everything that is. And from a distance, there's these beautiful, you know, pine-covered hills that rise several thousand feet above the prairie. And those hills appear black from a distance. And that's where the name the Black Hills came from.
Okay.
And of course, the Mount Rushmore now has 4 presidents on it. It has Washington and Jefferson and Roosevelt. And each one of those 4 presidents represents something. And I'll get to that in a moment. One of the things that's also important to know is that this mountain that Mount Rushmore was sculpted into was called by the Lakota people Six Grandfathers Mountain. And it was a very, very significant place to the Lakota from a religious standpoint. They viewed it as a place for prayer and devotion. It wasn't just spiritually significant, though. It was a very important hunting area, very important gathering area where they did a lot of food acquisition, where they made a lot of medicines. Soon, gold was discovered in that region. And that led to this huge rush of U.S. prospectors that fled there en masse. There were a lot of battles between the United States government and the indigenous people of that region. For example, there was a huge massacre at Wounded Knee in 1890. And so the U.S. government began using military force to subdue the indigenous people of that region away from the Black Hills. And what that did was it gave more settlers of European descent the ability to move into that area and then begin to make economic and other use of the region. Okay. So Mount Rushmore was actually named for a lawyer, a New York lawyer named Charles Rushmore, who traveled to the Black Hills in 1885. And his goal while he was there was to inspect mining titles. And he also wanted to hunt big game. So he was there to like, I'm going to kill some bison and I'm going to see what there is to see. And he asked a local man, a local European man, what's the name of that nearby mountain? What's the name of that mountain over there? And he was told, oh, it doesn't have a name. And so Charles Rushmore said, now it is named Mount Rushmore. He decided he would name it after himself.
He's all, it does now.
Yeah, it does now. And of course, it certainly had a name to the indigenous people of the region, but it didn't have a name to English speakers. But he was like, it does now. Now it's called Mount Rushmore.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week, and it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines. Just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why are you feeling the way that you are? Do you not have enough boundaries? Are you less social this time of year? Is the spring sunshine starting to energize you? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings starting to pick up after the winter. I know so many people who have benefited from talking to a professional in therapy. A qualified mental health professional can help you learn positive coping skills like monitoring and protecting your social battery. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon.
In the early 1920s, a man named Joan Robinson, who was South Dakota's state historian, came up with this idea to create sculptures. And he wanted to create sculptures on the Needles, which are the giant granite pillars that you see throughout the Black Hills. If you look at pictures, you'll see these, you see similar concepts in Utah, just out of different materials. Red Rocks in Utah. And these are granite pillars in South Dakota. And his idea was, what if we sculpt heroes of the American West into those different granite pillars that dot the landscape? And his suggestions for these sculptures were people like Chief Crazy Horse, Buffalo Bill Cody, Lewis and Clark, Sacagawea. And he was like, we could make these really impressive sculptures, and then it would increase tourism to South Dakota. People would want to come to see a giant sculpture of Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
And the idea, though, was of sculpting things onto the Needles was abandoned because of the poor quality of the granite. The sculptor that was initially like consulted about it, like, could we do this? Examined the quality of the granite and was like, it will not, it'll just crumble. It will not hold up. We will not be able to make these into sculptures. And additionally, there was a lot of opposition from the indigenous groups, like the Lakota, who were like, these are sacred. We're not just going to make them into Lewis and Clark, right? You know, like these are important to us. We're not just going to be like, this is a sculpture of Crazy Horse. That's not like, these mean something to us.
Yeah.
So the idea was abandoned. And then they began to look for what else could we do that would increase tourism to South Dakota, because they really wanted people to come visit, basically. And South Dakota, with this very unique landscape, had become a road trip destination for people with horseless carriages, otherwise known as cars. But that's what they were called. At the time, horseless carriages.
That's so funny.
Yes. Kind of like Teslas that drive themselves, except you had to drive them. And it was like, let's drive our horseless carriage out to the Black Hills. We'll go see Black Hills National Forest or Wind Cave National Park. They built a highway along the Needles that was like this scenic route. Mm. And so they really wanted to encourage more and more people to come and visit.
Yeah.
So they ultimately decided to, on this one site, that was Mount Rushmore. They ultimately decided on that in part because Charles Rushmore donated some of the money to begin sculpting on that, on the mountain that apparently he decided was named after him.
Right?
Yeah.
That's confidence right there. That's right.
He donated $5,000 to begin a sculpture, which is about $74,000 in today's money. And he really thought what we should do is sculpt presidents. And that would be patriotic, that would be unique, and that would make people want to come see them. And so they decided on George Washington, who represents sort of the country's founding. They decided on Thomas Jefferson, who represents the country's growth, because Jefferson oversaw buying the Louisiana Purchase, which like doubled the size of the United States.
Right.
They chose Teddy Roosevelt, which represented sort of America's development, kind of like that industrial development, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then they decided on Abraham Lincoln, which represents sort of like the preservation of the past. So that was how they decided on these presidents.
Interesting.
There's been over the years, a lot of speculation of like, there should be a woman. We should get a woman. We should get a woman on Mount Rushmore. We should add somebody. In fact, they decided a while ago, a long time ago, that like we should add a woman. And I'll tell you in a minute who the woman that they decided, like, yes, that is who we should add. And it's still very, it's not likely that they will do it, but there, but there are people who are like, we should do it. And they already just decided who it would be. They decided that they would hire this sculptor named Gutzon Borglum. And Gutzon Borglum, first of all, not a name you hear very often. Know anybody named Gutzon? No.
No.
it's spelled G-U-T-Z-O-N, Gutzon.
Oh.
His family was from Idaho, and he was a super talented sculptor. He had been hired to create a large sculpture of General Robert E. Lee on Stone Mountain in Georgia. And he eventually began having conflict with the committee that was overseeing the sculpting of the Robert E. Lee statue, and eventually parted ways with them, which then freed up his time to work on this other large sculpture in the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Okay.
So here's one of the problems with Gutzon Borglum. Is that he was very involved with the KKK.
Oh.
They were some of the people who were funding the sculpture of Robert E. Lee on Stone Mountain.
Hmm.
And it's not clear that he was ever an official member of the KKK, but there are a number of recorded instances where Gutzon Borglum said things about white supremacy and said very negative things about Indigenous people. Very negative. Like, he didn't trust 90% of them. He was afraid of the quote mongrel horde, like a horde of people who were not essentially like not purebloods, ruining the Nordic purity of the American West. And so he wanted to put US presidents there and not anybody of any other descent, because he wanted to help represent that purity and not the quote unquote mongrel horde. What a horrible phrase. Mongrel horde.
So hard.
What a horrible phrase.
It's awful.
So they settle on, okay, here's who we're going to put on Mount Rushmore. We're going to get Gutzon Borglum to come out here and sculpt them into the mountains. That did not mean, however, that there was not a long running dispute over the land. In fact, there were many, many, many decades of fights amongst the US government and the indigenous people of the area saying, hello, we signed a treaty. You told us that we would have undisturbed use of this land. And here you are out here proposing to dynamite our sacred spaces without our permission, after you specifically told us that you wouldn't do that. So those fights went on for a long time, and ultimately they were settled decades later. It took them a number of years to begin planning and fundraising for the beginning of the dynamiting of this cliff face of Mount Rushmore. So Congress eventually had to give its approval. Congress gave its approval in 1925, and they decided that they would allocate some money to the construction of this large sculpture.
We have all had embarrassing moments where something didn't smell quite right. And if you have any children or people in your lives who have stinky toes, stinky feet, and those stinky shoes pile up by the door of your house, and then when people come over, they're like, your house smells weird. There's a solution for that, and it is not necessarily spraying down your house with disinfectant. It is taking care of the smell at the source by using Lumi on places like the people in your house's stinky feet. It is a whole body deodorant. It is safe to use anywhere on your body. It was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how stinky feet and other body parts are often misdiagnosed as problems, when in reality, you could just use a product like Lumi and it would take care of the issue. It has been clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code Sharon at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code Sharon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
President Calvin Coolidge actually traveled to the Black Hills for his summer vacation in 1927, and Gutzon Borglum convinced him to deliver this sort of official dedication speech at Mount Rushmore as they were about to blast into the rock for the very first time. And one of the things that Calvin Coolidge said was, "We have come here to dedicate a cornerstone that was laid by the hand of the Almighty. On this towering wall of Rushmore in the heart of the Black Hills is to be inscribed a memorial which will represent some of the outstanding features of four of our presidents laid on by the hand of a great artist in sculpture. The memorial will crown the height of land between the Rocky Mountains and the Atlantic seaboard where coming generations may view it for all time." So that's part of what Calvin Coolidge said at the dedication. And many people don't realize that these sculptures were created with dynamite, with actual dynamite.
Yeah, like how? Like how?
I have that same question. Like, I can't even draw with pencils. But to just be like, we will create a very lifelike depiction with dynamite. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get it. No. Congress appropriated $250,000 in federal funds, which again was a lot of money back then, for the Mount Rushmore project. And they created this Mount Rushmore National Memorial Commission to kind of oversee its completion. So while it was being built, Gutzon Borglum oversaw 400 workers on the project. You can Google for pictures of the sculpting of Mount Rushmore and see they look like little teeny ants suspended on George Washington's nose. You know what I mean? Like, there were people whose job it was to place dynamite. And they began by, you know, blasting out huge areas of the rock, followed by this process of honeycombing, where they would drill holes close together, and then it would allow them to create a more and more refined picture of what would eventually be the president's heads. And eventually 450,000 tons of rock were blasted off the mountainside. In the original plan, I know. Isn't that crazy? In the original plan, Thomas Jefferson was supposed to be on the other side of George Washington. But once they started work on it, like if you look at the original drawings, it's not the layout that it is now. Once they started work on it, they realized that the rock on that side of George Washington was not suitable for sculpting. Like it needs to have certain qualities. And so they had already started it, but they ended up dynamiting off all of the work that they did over there to be like, scrap, erase
with dynamite.
Erase with dynamite. We're not doing that. We're going to put him over here.
Wow.
So after each face was completed, there was a dedication for the completion of that face. By the way, Roosevelt was the president who was finished last. So it started with Washington, then they did Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. In 1937, Congress introduced a bill to add the head of Susan B. Anthony, a woman who had really worked for the rights of women, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ultimately they decided the quality of the rock, the amount of money it would take. It's just not feasible to put her up there. It's just not feasible. So eventually, before Mount Rushmore was totally completed, Gutzon Borglum died. He didn't start carving these things till he was 60 years old.
Oh, wow.
And he had been working on them now for 14 years. He died before they were done. He had a son whose name was Lincoln, and his son Lincoln oversaw the final completion of the rest of the work on them. And then in 1966, Mount Rushmore was added to the National Register of Historic Places. And there are things like the Lincoln Borglum Museum at the Visitor Center, the Presidential Trail, you know, like there's all kinds of extra tourist things that have been built up surrounding Mount Rushmore. It has also been visited by 10 sitting presidents, which is very, very impressive. The 10 presidents have traveled from Washington, D.C. to South Dakota. Those presidents are Calvin Coolidge, FDR, Dwight Eisenhower, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, both President Bush's, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. Huh. But in 1980, one of the long-running legal disputes was finally decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. The case was called the United States versus the Sioux Nation of Indians. And the Supreme Court ruled in 1980 that the United States government had improperly taken the Black Hills territory from the indigenous people, and that they were entitled to over $17 million in damages.
Wow.
They ultimately decided, we don't want your money. We want our land back. And so there is still to this day a dispute about the fact that you improperly took this land from us, and paying us $17 million does not right the wrong, does not give us back what is important to us, which is our land. This is what one of the historians from that area has to say. He works at Sheridan College in Wyoming. He says, putting the president's faces on treaty land, what can we do now to use it to bring people together? And he talks about how the people that work there are sensitive to this issue, and that they work to incorporate indigenous people into their programming. Mm-hmm. They have graduate studies where you can go study the issues at the area. There's Black Hill State University where Lakota people are instructors on this matter, but it's still one of those issues that there's a lot of friction about. Like, you took this land from us. And one of the reasons they have continued to call for the return of the land is that it is illegal in the United States to take possession of ancestral lands of Native American groups. So that conflict is unlikely to be resolved in the near future, right? Because the United States has become very attached to this monument. Mm-hmm. They invested a considerable amount of money in creating it. Millions and millions of people visit it every year. And yet there is still that idea that, like, yeah, but you took it from us and it's ours.
Right.
So I'll give you just a few little fun facts to wrap up. there have been a number of proposals to add more presidents somewhere along Mount Rushmore, maybe not directly next to them, like Susan B. Anthony was proposed, but a number of proposals like we should expand this. Like the country didn't stop developing once Lincoln was assassinated in 1865. You know what I mean? Like we
should
continue to add to it in some fashion. And so they have done studies, and then they did a big survey of who should we add. So I'm curious, Kelly, who you think, if we're going to add one president, who do you think should be added to Mount Rushmore? Just your own personal opinion.
I think Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. He was right up there as let's add him. Yeah. And Barack Obama was like, you can't add me to Mount Rushmore. My ears are too big. That was his
response. Did he really say that exactly?
Yeah. That was his response. Because he's all known popular. Yeah. Like the first black president.
Right. Yeah.
So that's one reason that people have said he represents something significant in the United States. So he's in the top three of who people think should
come be on, adding. Brock, get some confidence here with your ears.
Your ears are fine. Your ears are fine. You're a beautiful human. The other two presidents that rank very, very highly on in polls, the number one choice that people want to see added to Mount Rushmore is FDR. And then the number two choice is Ronald Reagan.
Huh. Okay.
And Barack Obama's number three.
That's fascinating.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just to ask, is it like, who should they, if I got to pick, who would I choose?
Who would it be?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Susan B. Anthony?
I mean, can we? Come on.
I get the idea that it's presidents and she wasn't a president. I get that. But maybe someday we will have a female president, and maybe not on ancestral lands, but maybe something somewhere. We will put something in her memory. And
that would be amazing.
And be like, she was a great president.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, tell people where to find you if they want to like join your book club or join your community, because you have a great book club.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Tell everybody about that.
So yeah, I host a free virtual personal development book club for women. And it all started for me in middle school. I had an amazing teacher who gave me a personal development book called Go For It. Mm-hmm. And I read it, and it was very empowering during that difficult time. And that was, you know, that's kind of a time when you sort of lose your confidence in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that really empowered me throughout my teenage years. But as a teenager and a kid, we grew up poor. Like I had a single mom who was amazing. We lived in a trailer court at a time. And then as that kind of continued on, as I got married and my husband was going to school and we had tons of student loans, we had four kids, and we really struggled financially living paycheck to paycheck, to the point where one summer we found ourselves having to ask our church to buy us groceries because there wasn't enough money in our account. Mm-hmm. All of that really can affect the way you feel about yourself and your confidence. Mm-hmm. And I knew that in order to change your circumstances, you really have to change your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that, you know, those empowering books I read during that challenging time in middle school. And so here I am as this mom of four who was ready for a change, who had hit rock bottom. And so I jumped back into these personal development books, and those books changed my life. Like I literally went from food stamps to building a seven-figure business. And so a few years ago, I created a personal development book club for myself to hold myself accountable to read at least one empowering book a month. And then I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could hear from the author at the end of the month? So I started asking the authors to jump in our group and speak to us. And it has just grown to thousands of members. So really, I'm just a girl on a mission trying to help women love themselves and reclaim their confidence. And I'm doing it through this free book club that anyone can join. They can join right now at my website at kellyfrance.com/book club.
It's Kelly with an I.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kelly with an I.
What is your next book going to be?
What's our next
the book? The next club book.
But next, well, the one we're reading right now is actually from this was a guilty pleasure because I'm a huge Bachelor fan. I love that TV series. And so I asked Hannah Brown, who was a Bachelor on the show. She just launched a new book that's already a bestseller, and it's called God Bless This Mess. Mm-hmm. And we're reading it right now, and we get to hear from Hannah in this group at the end of the month. So I'm super stoked about that.
Fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a really fun group.
Well, I hope this was interesting. I hope
it was great.
Something. Who knew? Who knew all of these things? Also, the idea that Guts and Borglum was like associated with the KKK. I don't like that.
No. But it's fascinating to see like someone have so much vision that they're like, you know what? I'm just gonna, you know, dynamite art presidents' faces in the wall. Like, you got to have a lot of confidence for that. Yeah. You got to have a lot of vision for that.
100%. His sculpting skills were fantastic. There's no question there that he's a very skilled sculptor. Obviously, I do not have any of that talent.
No, I love this state series you're doing. It's so fascinating. Oh,
thank you. And Utah is your home state, right?
Were you born? That's where I was born, yeah. But now we're in Southern California.
Yes. Well, Utah is coming up.
Ooh.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast. I am truly grateful for you. And I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast, or maybe leave me a rating or a review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All of those things help podcasters out so much. This podcast was written and researched by Sharon McMahon and Heather Jackson. It was produced by Heather Jackson, edited and mixed by our audio producer, Jenny Snyder, and hosted by me, Sharon McMahon. I'll see you next time.